So we'll begin by discussing a topic that actually doesn't appear in the Bavli, it appears in the Yerushalmi. It's what's called Me'usham, which means literally to be something that is cooked through smoke. So this particular topic that the Yerushalmi talks about becomes very much relevant to Halacha L'maaseh today, what we call steam heating, any type of canning process which the food is going to be cooked through steam. So it's important for us to understand what exactly is the status of Me'usham in Halacha. So the Gemara begins, the Yerushalmi begins by discussing concerning Basar B'Chalav. The Yerushalmi raises the question, is Me'ushan really considered to be Basar B'Chalav or not? Means, do we say that when the Torah speaks about L'Savash, to be B'Chalav Imo, so that means to take a piece of meat, put it into a pot of milk, put it on a fire, and the cooking is done by the fire per se. Whereas if you have something which is suspended in midair, and the smoke which is coming out of a fire, and it's going all the way up, and it's smoking the food, is that really considered to be Bishul or not? So the Yerushalmi raises the Safek. And the simple pshat of Yerushalmi is that Yerushalmi never really comes to a conclusion about this. So this led the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch to assume that it's a safek deraisa. So therefore, if a person would be ma'ashe in the Basar B'Chalav, so that would be a safek bishul deraisa. It would be a safek israchil deraisa, safek israhana deraisa. The problem is that there is another statement of Yerushalmi in Masechah Shabbos, which also speaks about Me'ushan in the context of Hilchos Shabbos. And there the Yerushalmi says that a ma'ashe, if a person smokes food on Shabbos, so that would constitute an Isser D'Araisa in terms of Malacha Shabbos. So the question becomes, what's the chiluk between when it comes to Basar B'Chalav that the Yerushalmi seems not to resolve the question, whereas when it comes to Masechah Shabbos, the Yerushalmi does resolve the question. So in fact, the Bir HaGra points out at the beginning of Hilchos Basar B'Chalav and Siman Pei Zayin that that question is so overwhelming that the answer to that question is that in Ochinami, that the Yerushalmi really does resolve the question. That means once you have that Yerushalmi Masechah Shabbos that says straight out that a Me'ushan is considered to be Bishul in Hilchos Shabbos, so that proves to us that although the Yerushalmi in one place leaves it as hanging, it must be that the lady Ramah will poshet the shayla, that in Ochinami says the Gra, there's no lumdus, there's no svar between mechalek between the two. It's either all or nothing. Either Me'ushan is Bishul or Me'ushan is not Bishul. And since the Yerushalmi does say befeirish in one place that Me'ushan is Bishul in Hilchos Shabbos, so we have a right to carry that over to Basar B'Chalav as well. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't sound that way, and the Rambam doesn't sound that way. They sound that in fact there is a chiluk between Me'ushan in Hilchos Shabbos and Me'ushan in Hilchos Basar B'Chalav. So what's the lumdus to be mechalek? So perhaps we can argue that we know in Hilchos Shabbos as a concept of avos and toldos. We know that the Torah speaks about lamites malachos, and then there are toldos of each of those lamites malachos. So this principle that you can have a tolda, which is not really the malach itself, it's something that resembles the malach. And again, those were learning a little bit Masechah Shabbos this year also in Yeshiva. So we talked about it a little bit. Those who are interested in the Wednesday night and the late night year. So we're going to talk about that also a little bit. That there are differences in halacha between the av and the tolda. But this concept that there's a principle of toldos in halacha, so the Gemara really only has this explicitly when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. There was an age of Mechlekes in the Rishonim, but this principle of toldos really carries over outside the realm of Shabbos altogether. There's a place in Masechet Bechoros that assumes that avos and toldos, the principle of toldos, was only this chachin in Hilchos Shabbos. And the Sheik Mekubetzes in Bava Kamma, in the beginning of Bava Kamma, happens to disagree. So that's a shayla in the Rishonim. So it could be that that's the root of the Mechlekes that's taking place here. That it could be that Bishul in the sense of the Av Malacha, in terms of the real bona fide Bishul, when the Torah says Lo Savashal, when the Torah says Lo Sasekom Malacha, one of those Lamites Malachas is Bishul. So the Torah is talking about normal Bishul, Allah Eish, with the real Makor, we usually associate Bishul with. The fact that in Hilchos Shabbos, Ama'ashen is also Chayav, so it could be that's Betorah's Tolda. So that's Betorah's Tolda, so then you have a whole question, and maybe a Taka does not carry over to Basar B'Chalav. So maybe that's Pshat in the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe just because the Gemara says that Ama'ashen the Shabbos is Chayav, doesn't necessarily mean that Me'ushan is considered to be Bishul in the realm of Basar B'Chalav. So at the end of the day, this is a Machlekes in Hilchos Basar B'Chalav. The fact that we're makbid not to eat Me'ushan in theory, we wouldn't eat Me'ushan in Basar B'Chalav, is that Betorah's Vada, is that Betorah's Safek? So according to the simple reading of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, that's only Betorah's Safek. That means it's really only Vada Bishul in Hilchos Shabbos, whereas in other areas of Halacha it's up for grabs. And according to the Gra, once we're poshed in Hilchos Shabbos, that it's considered to be Bishul, who in Dinami it's considered to be Bishul in Kol HaTorah Kula. Why is this relevant in Halacha? So in Hilchos Basar B'Chalav per se, it's not that relevant, because it's going to be also either Betorah's Safek or his Vada, not going to make much of a difference. The question becomes the third area of halacha where bishul becomes critical, and that's in terms of bishul hakam. We started to talk a little bit about last week that we have to always define bishul hakam based on some of the definitions of bishul of Basar B'Chalav and Hilchos Shabbos. So, what would the halacha be about the ushan in bishul hakam? Would that be a problem or not? So, according to the opinion of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, that ushan is really only a suffix. That means we really don't know what the status is of Ma'ushan outside of Shabbos. The only area we can say Bevados that Ma'ushan is considered to be Bishul, that's only in Hilchos Shabbos. Anything else is up for grabs. So Sofik Bas Mecholav, of course, is an Issa D'Araisa. So Sofik Bas Mecholav is L'Chumra. But Bishalakam is only Midrabanan. So Bishalakam, we have a right to say Kol Sveikos and Hilchos Bishalakam are always going to go L'Kula. So it could be that according to the Pesach of the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, when Machmer, then Ma'ushan's a problem in Shabbos, and Ma'ushan's a problem in Bas Mecholav. But in Bishalakom, one would have a right to be Mekel. Whereas according to the opinion of the Gra, who says that Ma'ushan is not a Sofek, we know that Ma'ushan equals Bishal. Finish, end of discussion. So one would have expected that Ma'ushan should have been problematic in Bishalakom. Nice. Preface by saying one would have expected, one should have expected, but that's not always necessarily the truth. The Gra himself happens to also hold that Ma'ushan is exempt, is excluded from Bishul Akam, which is a little bit difficult to understand. But some have to say, according to the Gra, that even though perhaps Ma'ushan was included in Shabbos, and maybe Ma'ushan was included in Basa Mechalav, but in Hilchos Bishul Akam, the Chacham made up the whole list for Bishul Akam, so the Chacham have the right to give certain leniency. So perhaps Chazal understood that even though Lamais on a Deraisidika level, Ma'ushan is a problem, but since it is different from real Bishul, bottom line is everybody agrees that it looks different, maybe it tastes different, maybe it smells different, it's not quite the same as real Bishul, so maybe in Hilchos Bishul Akam, the Chacham gave us a freebie, they gave us a kula. So at the end of the day, it comes out that according to the Shulchan Aruch, for sure, there's no problem, not for sure, the Suffolk, there's no problem of Ma'ushan Bishalakom, and according to the Gra, even though the din should have been problematic, Lamaisa, even the Gra's makel. So Halacha Lamaisa, Nuchas Bishalakom, we assume that Ma'ushan is not a problem. Now, why is that significant? So this becomes very significant. There were a group of poskim who claimed that what does Ma'ushan mean? So Ma'ushan basically means that you're not cooking the food with the fire per se, but you're cooking the food with something which is coming out of the fire, i.e. the smoke. So came a group of Rachmanim and said, well, what's the difference whether you're cooking with smoke that's coming out of a fire or you're cooking with steam that's coming out of a fire? Steam cooking, canning. So canning is done that way. Food is cooked in the can through steam. They don't fill up the tuna fish inside the can and then put the can of tuna fish onto the fire. I'm not exactly an expert on the tuna fish industry, but I imagine that's not what happens. What is supposed to happen is that the steam is used in order to heat the food that's inside the can. So is that considered to be a problem of Bishul Akam altogether? So there were a group of Echarim who said, anytime something is cooked with steam, that's the halakha equivalent to being cooked with smoke, and therefore there's no problem whatsoever in Bishul Akam. And other Echarim said, no, but maybe it's different, but maybe smoke is a different type of a setup. Maybe they're cooking with smoke because the smoke perhaps may affect actually the taste of the food. So maybe one can argue that that's considered to be different. That's the thing from cooking. Rasha Ein Kein, when you have steam, so the steam doesn't change the quality of the food. The steam doesn't change the taste of the food. It's just another method of cooking foods. So maybe one can argue that steam heating is not really the equivalent of Ma'ushan. So this was still, no pun intended, a little burning issue. That pun wasn't planned. Anyone who knows my shiurim knows that I never plan any puns. Puns are, there's an old style joke. No one likes to make, no one likes to hear puns. They come out. So this machlekes and poskim is very, very important. So this is a major machlekes in the hashkacha organizations. So when you buy the frumi brands of tuna fish that say on down, Bishul Yisrael, the question is, what does it mean, Bishul Yisrael? So maybe the other cans of tuna fish, the stockists, just say on them, Ma'ushan, that means it doesn't require Bishul Yisrael, because we don't care about Bishul Yisrael, because it's only being done by day steam heating. So many of the hashkacha organizations are makel on the shayla, usually batzir of other considerations, that there is a question whether the chlal is a problem, Bishul Akam, and factory types of settings, because the Gemara says that the reason for Bishul Akam was Gzeir Mishum Chasa, that you're going to come in, you're going to marry the non-Jew's daughter, the person who's cooking the food for you. So even though the halacha is that even if it's not in a business setting, let's say you don't really have a relationship with this non-Jew, we assume that is a problem of Bishul Akam. In Pasachim, maybe that's okay, but in Bishul Akam, so say it's in a restaurant, you're not going to really get very chummy-chummy with a non-Jewish chef, but that's still considered to be a problem. But Rav Moshe had a suggestion that what if you have a situation where it's not pshat that it's just a business type of a setup, it's not even shayach for you to ever meet the non-Jew who's cooking the food. So they're cooking tuna fish, I don't know where they make tuna fish, I don't know. In Puerto Rico, they catch tuna fish. I don't remember. They're catching the tuna fish. They're carrying the tuna fish. So some non-Jew is pressing a button in Puerto Rico. So what are the odds that you're ever going to meet that person? It's not shayach to ever meet that person. So came Reb Moshe and suggested maybe that's not considered to be Bishul Akam altogether. So others question whether we have a right to say that. Maybe it's lo pluk. So we're not so sure whether that svar is really should be accepted by halacha. But many poskim are makel, but serious a few things, that the canned foods usually going to be steam heating, which is a shaila whether there's mishalachim altogether. The tzir of Rav Moshe Svara that it's a factory type of a setup. Then there are other considerations. Ena ola shulchan malachim, that usually canned tuna fish is not served at a royal feast. That's a question, because real tuna fish, you know, high quality tuna fish would be served at a royal feast, but canned tuna fish is not served. Is that considered to be ola shulchan malachim, not ola shulchan malachim? So the few tzadim lahakiyot. That's why many hashkachas assume that these types of canned foods are not really a problem of bishalaka per se. But a good deal of this discussion starts out in hilchos bas b'cholam. It starts out in hilchos Shabbos. It starts out with this din in the beginning of Siman Tezayin Yerodeya, that ma'ushan is excluded may not be excluded from bas b'cholam. And the question is, how does that play out in terms of other areas of bishal? There is another discussion that appears in the beginning of Siman Pezayin, which also appears in the Gemara, in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, and that's a question which is very much relevant to Halacha L'Maaseh. This is the first time that we're going to touch on this issue, but hopefully as we continue in the Shiurim, we're going to keep on coming back to that, and that's the status of microwaves. Where does microwaves fit in terms of Basa B'Cholim, and for that matter, where does it fit in terms of other areas of Bishul as well? So, needless to say, the Gemara doesn't discuss microwaves, but the Gemara does discuss what's called Bishul B'Chama. The Gemara discusses cooking food in the sun. This sugya appears in the third parak of Masechta Shabbos, where the Gemara says that Bishul B'Chama is not really considered to be Bishul, and even to the point of being Mutar L'Chatchila in Hilchos Shabbos, that technically speaking, the Mishnah, the Gemara says, one can take an egg, and if it's hot enough outside, you can put it outside and wait till it fries. So that's okay. That's totally mutter in Shabbos. That's mutter in the Torah. It's mutter in the Rabbanan. The Gemara just says that they made a gezerah in the Rabbanan that you shouldn't cook petoldos hacham. You shouldn't cook an egg on something that was heated up from the fire. That means let's say you have something which became hot. You had a piece of metal that became hot because it was sitting in the fire. Now you want to put the egg on that metal. That's problematic. But to put, because it looks a gezerah, it's a gezerah in the Rabbanan that you may come to cook petoldos ha'esh. But to cook in the cham itself, so that's so fundamentally different than bishul ala esh, the Gemara says that's totally mutter, even mid the Rabbanan. So bishul mechava is acceptable. The question is, why should that be so? What's different? Why is it that the halacha says that bishul mechava doesn't constitute an act of bishul in Hilchos Shabbos? So there is a Rashi in the third parak of Masechta Shabbos, which is questionable what exactly Rashi is driving at. But at least Rav Moshe understood Pshat and Rashi is as follows. Rav Moshe interpreted Rashi to mean that this is based on the principle of malacha kiliachayad. We know in Hilchos Shabbos that if a person does a malacha in an abnormal way, so that's not considered to be an issa deraisa. Now sometimes doing malachas in an abnormal way is totally mutter, and sometimes doing malachas in an abnormal way is an issa midrabanan. That becomes very tricky. Where do you draw the line? There is a piece of written by the Eglei Tal to try to give you a hagdara, try to figure out when you draw the line, what's considered to be asa midrabanan, what's considered to be mutter lechatchila. But it's clear from the Gemara that there are rules, that sometimes it's one way and sometimes it's the other way. So Rav Moshe assumes that this is what Rashi was driving at. The Bishul B'Chama is considered to be a shino, it's considered to be kliachayad. Most normal people don't cook in the sun, so therefore it's mutter min haTorah, and it happens to even meet those criteria to be mutter even lechatchila. So it's based on that Rav Moshe makes the following conclusion, that since the whole tour, the whole heter of Bishul B'Chama is based on the fact that it's Shaloi Kederech. So Shaloi Kederech is something subjective in Halach. It will change according to the time and place. What was Shaloi Kederech in the days of the Mishnah may very well become Kederech Bizman Azeh. So says Rav Moshe, what would the din be if you have a place where it's normal to cook in the sun? Let's say, for example, solar heating. So it's very normal to heat up the water in the sun. I remember when I went in Kerem Yavna, I don't know, maybe they have boilers now, but I remember when I learned in Kerem Yavna, so we all knew that there was only about a half hour a day we could actually take a shower, right? I think some fellow dorm mates will recall that. So that was our first introduction to solar heating. So says Ramesh, if you have a situation where it's normal to cook in the sun, so that becomes a severe ice. It's not that Bishul B'Chama is mufka from Bishul. It's not that it's fundamentally different Bishul. It's just that it happens by court to be Shaloi Kederech in the days of Chazal. And Rav Shlomo Zalman disagrees. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that he thinks that the real Hagdara of Bishul means that there has to be an Eish. There's no Eish present, so that's a mufka from a din Bishul. That's not considered to be Bishul altogether, not because of the technical quirk of Shaloi Kederech, but rather it's much more of a halachic statement that Bishul is defined as using an Eish, and it's clear from the Gemara that that din applies to other areas of Halach as well. The Gemara in Pesachim speaks about if a person cooked the carbon Pesach B'Chama, then he goes out and eats it, is that considered to be an Isra of Boshel Mavushel or not? So comes Shlomo Zalman and says that the definition of Bishul requires Eish. There's a fascinating raya that the Gemara has in the third parak of Shabbos, which may lean a little bit towards Rav Shlomo Zalman. The Gemara has a discussion, b'chalikas ha'tanoi v'abishol b'chami teveria. Can a person take a pot of food on Shabbos and put it on the hot springs of Teveria? Is that considered to be bishol or not? So the Gemara quotes that one Tana said, that's like bishol b'chama, because there's no real ish there. So the same way that bishul b'chama is not an issa deraisa, so too bishul b'chama teveri is not an issa deraisa. Then the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yossi, who says no, that bishul b'chama teveri is considered to be bishul ala eish mamish. Where's the eish? So Rabbi Yossi says, a very, very difficult statement to understand physically, but Rabbi Yossi says that where does the b'chama teveri get hot from? So he said it gets hot from the pischashul gehenim, that water which is getting heated up from the pischashul gehenim munach sham, whatever that means. So that's considered to be like the equivalent of bishul b'eish. So, l'chora, this machlekes ha-tanoim should shed some light on our discussion. The tanoim are arguing out, it seems like a machlekes in the sense of mitzias, means what is the nature of the chami teveria? It should be equated with bishul b'chama, should we equate it with bishul b'esh? So, l'chora, according to Rav Moshe, who says that bishul b'esh is not really a halacha, bishul b'esh is just a definition of mitzias, so then you should just take a poll in teveria and ask people, is it normal to cook here or not? If it's normal to cook here, so who cares where the fire is from? If it's not normal to cook here, who cares what pischashul gehenim? Maybe it is there, it's not there, it's irrelevant. So why does the tanoim seem to be addressing a mitzias question, whether there is an esh or is no esh? But according to Shlomo Zalman, that makes a lot of sense. According to Shlomo Zalman, the mitzias is critical because the only thing that matters is lamaisa. Is there an esh? The fact that it's normal or abnormal doesn't really play a role. So why does this question become critical for our discussion? So the poskim assume that we have a right, potentially, to extrapolate from the case of bishul b'chama to a case of bishul b'microwave. Because bishul b'microwave is in a certain similarity. There's also no age present. The method of heating is totally different. And I'm not a scientist, but I think what basically happens is that the microwave rays go inside the food, heats up the molecules of the food, and then poof, all of a sudden the food becomes hot. But lamaisa, or at least half the food, always the first bite you bite into is always, of course, cold, and then you assume it's cold, no big deal. Then the second half you burn your tongue. That's the lamaisa b'chalya. But anyway, the way microwaves are supposed to work is that supposed to heat up the food, but it doesn't involve an H whatsoever. So the question is bishul in a microwave really considered to be bishul? So when Ramosha was originally asked this question, so Ramosha said, yeah, of course it's considered to be bishul, providing one condition, says Ramosha, that it's normal to cook in a microwave. If it's abnormal, then it's like bishul b'chama. But if it's normal, then it's like the solar heating, which Ramosha Paskin is considered to be bishul gomor. So Rav Moshe wrote this shuva many, many years ago. The microwaves were first coming onto the scene. So Rav Moshe writes, "Bizman is there. Very few people have microwaves, so it's not so common." For Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe chachamad of minavi. So Rav Moshe says, "Well, it would appear to me that microwaves is going to be a good invention. Whoever invented microwaves is going to make a mint off of it." Says Rav Moshe, "He says it's probably going to catch on, and I won't be surprised. There's going to come a day when people are going to be cooking more in microwaves than in regular fires." That's what Rav Moshe writes in his tshuva. So he says, "Imtum salam, that day will come that it's considered to be the nog sheba olam to heat up water in a microwave." So therefore, that would constitute an issa deraisa. That would be bishul gomor. And Rav Shlomo Zalman would disagree with that psak. Because according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, solar heating is only, at worst, the rabbanon bizman hazeh. And microwaves can't be more chomer than that. So microwaves, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, is not bishul. There's no esh. It's not a function of what the metzias hadvarim is. So this original machlokes between Rav Moshe and Shlomo Zalman, which started out in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, may very well carry over to Hilchos Basa Mecholav as well. What's the halacha? Is there really Basa Mecholav in a microwave? So according to Rav Moshe, the answer to that is yes. According to Rav Moshe, once it's normal to cook in a microwave, so if it's Bishul Gomer in a Torah in Hilchos Shabbos, it's going to be Bishul Gomer in Hilchos Basa Mecholav as well. But according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, the din is not the way. The din is that it's not really considered to be Basa Mecholav. Now why has this really become important? So we know that there's a klal that although min haTorah basa b'cholav is only also derech bishul, but min drabanon it's also even if it's shalaki derech bishul, as long as there's any bliya whatsoever, even if it's not, I have to rephrase that statement, that even if it's not real bona fide derech bishul, that's also considered to be problematic. So there is a big machlekes in the Rishonim whether the principle of bliya that I just slipped with a moment ago, is that really a function of bishul or not? Means do we say that absorption, the transferring of tastes, only takes place when there's a halachic bishul, or do we say that transferring of taste, that you have two things that touch each other, they get hot together, so mamela there's going to be a transferring of taste, even if there's no real bona fide halachic bishul. So this original machlekes and Rishonim appears in the sugya of klisheni. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos that klisheni ain't a mevashel. You take food, I mean, technically speaking, klisheni ain't a mevashel. We have chumras b'zman hazeh that we try to avoid bishul, even in klisheni for technical reasons. But strictly speaking, min haTorah, klisheni ain't a mevashel. So the Rishonim had a machlokes in Hilchos Tarovas a little bit later on. It's in Mikufei. What's the din in terms of blias? What if you have a klisheni? You have a pot that wasn't sitting on the fire. You transfer the contents from a pot into a bowl, and let's say it was a pot of a, let's say a bowl of a chicken soup, and now by mistake you take a milchik spoon and you start to eat your klisheni chicken soup. Is that a problem of blias or not? Do we say that gaval that the chicken soup may have become treif, and now the spoon may have become treif? Do we say that sinful mice, it's heat, it's hot, it's more than yatsa, let us go, so there was a bliya, now you have a bas b'chol problem on your hands? Or do we say no, that just as klisheni ain't a mavashel, so too klisheni ain't a boleya? So that was a big machlekes in the Rishonim, and lehaloch and shulchan aruch, it's not 100% clear how we paskin. Poskim usually assume that lechetchila, we try to avoid this, we try lechetchila to use fleshiks and milk except spoons, but and even if it happens, but the evidence, if it's very easy to kasha, so we'll kasha at least as a ace. But in terms of really the ik and ikra din, can we really trafe up in a klisheni? So that's somewhat questionable. So there may be a difference, la halacha, between klirisha and klisheni. And what's that difference predicated on? That blia may be a function of bishul. Whenever you don't have a bishul, so you don't really have a blia either. Now, if you take that principle that many posts can accept, at least Me'ikar Adin in Simon Kofei, and now perhaps plug this into the sugya concerning microwaves, that according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, who says that microwave is not really bishul, so then what that may translate to mean is that microwaves may not be real blia either. Now, the significance of that statement would be, of course, unbelievable. I mean, if those two statements are true, that there's no bishul in microwaves, combined with the fact that when there's no bishul, so technically speaking, there's no blia, so then you could use your microwave for everything. You could use a microwave for basal b'cholof. You could use your tray for microwave, could be used for kosher. But I'm talking about without covering, I'm talking about without any problems. That's not considered to be derech blia. Again, it's a, please don't walk away from this year. We'll get to this later on. We talk about ovens in general as to whether we should really be knowing this way, but this is a potential tzad l'hokel. Again, it's combining two factors together. It's combining the fact that Rav Shlomo Zalman learned pshat, that bishul b'chama is not bishul because api din is no hesh, which is a major question. And then it's combining together those poskim who maintain that whenever there's no bishul, there's not going to be a bliya. Obviously, if either of those two premises are incorrect, lahalacha, so then this entire kula falls by the wayside. So there may be other tzadim lahalacha by microwaves, because microwaves, the sides of the walls don't really get hot, so that may be a whole different side. But again, we'll get to ovens later on in the end of Sin in the Tzadi Beis, so we've got a little while to go. So then hopefully we'll come back, we'll revisit the microwave issue. But at least in terms of the basic potential for a heter may be related to the sugya of bishul b'chama. I answered it. Okay, I didn't say anything. I said we're going to talk about it later. Some of that was the answer. Look, Ora, just as an aside, since we kept up a pattern of speaking about bishul b'shabbos and bishul b'bas b'chol and bishul l'akom, look, Ora, Bishul Akam should also chap an afkamina in this machlekes. That according to Rav Moshe, there should be a problem with Bishul Akam on microwaves, and according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, the pashup shot is that there shouldn't be. I say the pashup shot that there shouldn't be, because it's not clear, it could be Rav Shlomo Zalman himself, there was a problem, maybe for technical grounds, but if a person follows this line of reasoning that it's not called bishul in Shabbos, it's not called bishul in Bas B'cholav, it's not considered to be bishul in Gamre when it comes to microwaves. So this was a suggestion that many poskim had. This was, I think we spoke about Dunkin' Donuts last week. So last week we spoke about the donut aspect of Dunkin' Donuts. Now we just have to mention the Kitz and Imritz, fair equal time to the other half of the Dunkin' Donuts Shaila, and that's the egg part of the Shaila. So there was a big machloikis at poskim when the Dunkin' Donut type of a setup is follows. You go walk into a Dunkin' Donuts and you ask for an egg on, I don't know, whatever, egg or croissant, I don't know, whatever it is. You ask for an egg. So someone's going to make that egg for you. So eggs are subject to bishul akam. Egg is a normal type of a food that's oila shulchan malachim. So it's a potential problem with bishul akam. So what happens? So they take the egg, they throw it into the microwave, and somebody presses the button. Who presses the button? So according to Rav Moshe, the Jew has to press the button, or else it's mavish treif, it's mavish bishul akam. Whereas according to Shlomo Zalman Svara, that bishul b'chama is not considered to be bishul even b'zman hazeh, and bishul b'microwaves is not really bishul b'zman hazeh. So maybe one could argue that there's no bishul lakam magabri on eggs in a microwave. So this was a machlekes at poskim, and at one point this was a machlekes to two Dunkin' Donuts. We spoke about this in one of the Wednesday night shiurim. It was a machlekes at one time. It was a machlekes between I don't want to say the RCBC Dunkin' Donuts, because the RCBC doesn't officially give the Hashkacha of Dunkin' Donuts under Elizabeth, under Rabbi Teitz. So it was the Machlokes, the teenage Dunkin' Donuts and the Five Towns Dunkin' Donuts. At one time, that was the Machlokes. And apparently in the Five Towns, there used to be a sign that said that if you order eggs, so please make sure to press the button. And I think in teenage there was no such sign. Is there a sign now? They put the sign up?
Where?
Don't they have eggs? Now
they have pre-made eggs.
Oh, sure. Okay. Okay. So I think at one time, in the free of the Kedairas, in the Shunim Kanmanias, so there used to be such a sign up in some of the Dunkin' Donuts. So anyway, so that Machlekes, so now you can go into Dunkin' Donuts. You can go into Dunkin' Donuts now, so out of this, I think things have changed. They have to, I think now the Dunkin' Donuts is not bid even on the Bishul Yisrael, even on the donut part. But at one point, so one could have gone into Dunkin' Donuts and could have had his Bishul Hakam donuts together with his Bishul Hakam eggs, everything all rolled into one. Yeah, according to some post, everything was mutter, the others it was problematic. So anyway, you'd be surprised how long this, your trip to Dunkin' Donuts. Maybe we should have a sheer trip now, every Sunday morning. So anyway. There is another discussion, which up until now we've been like basically discussing Hilchos Shabbos and then trying to figure out from Hilchos Shabbos how does it play out in terms of Bas B'Cholov. But here we have a little bit of a reverse Shaila. It runs as follows. The Gemara tells us in the beginning of Kol HaBosar that there was a Gezeirah Mid Rabbanan that a person is not permitted to have one person eating Fleishik on one side of the table, another person eating Milchus on the other side of the table. There was a Gezeirah Mid Rabbanan that Eina Of Olam Magvin Al Shulchan Echad. Because everybody is going to come to eat together. So hopefully we're going to get to Simon Peches and not all that down the line. So hopefully we're going to talk about the details of that particular Gezerah. But that Gezerah clearly exists. So the Gemara questions that Gezerah. How can it be that the Chabad made up a Gezerah that you're not allowed to have oaf and green at the same table? What's so gefelach? So I'm eating my chicken and you're eating your pizza. And I'm going to take a bite out of your pizza. So Azma, it's going to be Derech Shalok Kederech Dishal anyway. So it's at worst going to be an Issa Drabbanan. So this smacks a little bit of a Gezerah to Gezerah. It means we're going to make a Gezerah Drabbanan. Don't have chicken and milk, don't have real meat and milk on the table at the same time, because there you may come and take a bite from the other guy's food, so big deal, so it's going to be a gezerah la gezerah. So the Gemara says you're talking right, at least at one side, the Gemara says you're really right, that would really be a little bit of a far-fetched gezerah. Elawa, the Chachamim are afraid that maybe we're going to have a potential problem of Basa B'Chol of Deraisa here, if I'm eating in a Kli Rishon, and you're eating in a Kli Rishon. So if each one of us is eating in a Kli Rishon, so then perhaps that could constitute Bas B'Chol of Deraisa. That could really be Derech Bishul. The question is, what exactly does that mean? I'm eating in a Kli Rishon, you're eating in a Kli Rishon, that's going to be Derech Bishul. So there is a din that the Mishnah tells us in Masechet Shabbos, that a Kli Rishon really can be defined in one of two ways. It's classic Kli Rishon, which is Ala Eish, you have a pot of soup that's sitting on the fire, Kli Rishon Sha'al Gabi Eish. So if a person puts raw food into the Kli Rishon Gabi Eish, we call that Bishul Deraisa. So that's obvious. Then the Mishnah says that what if you take this Kli Rishon and you put it down on the counter? So that's what's called in Halacha Kli Rishon Shelo Agabi Eish. So the Mishnah says Beferish, you're not allowed to put raw food into that also. That would also be a violation of Bishul, but it's not 100% clear from that Mishnah, that Sugyan Shabbos, whether that would be an Issa D'Araisa of Bishul, or that would only be an Issa D'Rabbanan of Bishul. So there's a Rambam that at least the Aruch HaShulchan was convinced that the Rambam says that would only be Bishul Medrabbanan. Whether or not the Rambam said it, the Yerushalmi says it. The Yerushalmi says just about the Beferish that Bishul D'Araisa only means when there's an Eish underneath. It has to be a Bishul Agabia Eish Mamish, but if it's Shalom Agabia Eish, notwithstanding the fact that it's in a Kli Rishon, that does not constitute a real bona fide Bishul on a level of Deraisa. And many Rishonim, probably most of the Rishonim, disagree with that. That's usually the way we assume the halacha today, that when we deal with Shalas of a Kli Rishon, so we don't really ask ourselves, well, is it Agabia Eish, Shalom Agabia Eish? If at one time it was Agabia Eish, we assume that's considered to be a real bona fide Bishul Deraisa. So the post can point out that Lechora, the answer to this question, whether we should accept the Yerushalmi and the Rambam that Bishul D'Araisa is only Agabia Eish, or the answer is like all the other poskim, that Bishul D'Araisa is even Shelo Agabia Eish, ultimately revolves around this sugya in the beginning of Perek Kol HaBosar. Why is that? Because the Gemara is trying to find the case of Bas B'Chol of D'Araisa. The Gemara is trying to dream up a scenario where I'm eating Basar, you're eating Gavina, and theoretically a little bit of your Gavina, like the commercial about he's eating about the chocolates and the raisins, whatever it is, so the ice creams and the cookies. So I'm eating Bas and you're eating Gavina, and in theory there could be a Bas B'Chol of D'Araisa here. So finally the Gemara said, what's the case? Hachab and Mayas Kinan, everyone's eating in a Kli Rishon. So what does that mean, everyone's eating in a Kli Rishon? Obviously, the Gemara means we're talking about everyone's eating in a Kli Rishon. Shalo Agabi Oesh. That means I took the pot. It's Yeshivish. I took the pot of children off the fire, and I'm eating out of the pot. You took the pot of whatever out of the lasagna. You took the dish of lasagna out of the oven, and you're eating mamish out of the thing itself. Neither of us bothered to transfer the food to another plate. So that's the case of the Gemara. So in theory, if a little bit of your cheese gets into my meat, so then we would smack over there heist over here. So l'chora, this Gemara is a raya brura. From the fact that the Gemara calls this bas b'chol of deraisa, because otherwise we never would have made the gezeira in the first place. If we couldn't have conjured up a case of bas b'chol of deraisa, of two guys eating at the table, so we never would have instituted the yisad derabanan with ein acholim al shulchan echad. So l'chora is here, raya brura from here, that bishul deraisa is defined even in a kli rishon shelo gabi oesh. So the Prima Godin writes that, what do you do according to the Rambam? What do you do according to the Rishalmi? How do you understand this? So he says you have to change the metzias. You have to go to the nice, to the fancy smorgasbords. You go to the fancy restaurants when they bring the food out to you, mamash with the fire underneath. That means, hocha b'mayaskina. This is what Chazal were afraid of, that I'm going to be eating my cholent, not that I took the cholent out of the oven, but I'm eating the cholent, mamash under, what do they call the little, those little burners? So I'm eating under that, whatever you call it. I'm eating my flesh is under with the fire underneath. You're eating your milchis with the fire underneath. And a little bit of milchis is going to get into my flesh. That's the bas b'chol of deraisa that Chazal were concerned with. But in Ochinami, that if you have bas b'chol of, that I'm eating in a kli rishon shelo gabi oesh, and you're eating in a kli rishon shelo gabi oesh, so in Ochinami, there's nothing to be concerned with at a level of deraisa. So it's interesting that machlekes that the poskim had in Hilchos Shabbos is ultimately going to revolve around how one learns pshat in terms of Hilchos Bas B'cholov. There's one last issue that relates to the relationship between what constitutes bishul, the rules of bishul in Hilchos Shabbos, and the rules of bishul in Bas B'cholov, that is as follows. The Gemara has a klal in Hilchos Shabbos we're all familiar with called Ein Bishul Acha Bishul, that technically speaking, at least on the level of deraisa, the food was already cooked, so that it's not subject to bishul deraisa afterwards. And the question, maybe it's also midrabbanan, and for other reasons to put it back on the fire, but midrabbanan, that's not a problem. So the question is, does that klal of ein bishul acha bishul carry over to bas b'cholov? Should we say that that's a definition of bishul? Bishul means first time. Once it's already cooked, that's not called bishul anymore. Or do we say, no, that's a unique klal of chashavas, melachas machshavas asva Torah, that you have to really accomplish something, and once it was already cooked, so then what you're doing is not really considered to be all that much constructive in chashavas. But that klal of ein bishul acha bishul does not carry over in terms of basa b'cholov. So if one would take the approach that ein bishul acha bishul carries over out of the realm of Hilchos Shabbos into the realm of basa b'cholov, then we would have an unbelievable kula b'zman hazeh. Basically, if that statement is true, then basa b'cholov deraisa does not exist b'zman hazeh, for a very simple reason. All of our milk is already cooked. All of our milk is pasteurized. So all of our milk has already been cooked by itself. So when a person comes and pours his container of milk into his pot of cholent that's cooking, so that's not bas b'cholov. And maybe midrabbanan it's a problem. Midaraisa, so that's not called bas b'cholov because the milk was already in his bashel. So ein bishul acha bishul. So that's generally assumed to be incorrect. Baruch Hashem, we still have deraisa as a bas b'cholov to talk about. That's assumed to be not correct. And we assume that the klal of ein bishul acha bishul does not really carry over from Hilchos Shabbos. That was a unique din that was said in Shabbos and doesn't apply to Basa B'cholov. Nevertheless, even though that half of the statement is the Pashtus correct, Rabbi Kivega points out, there's a diyut from some of the Rishon, Rabbi Kivega, the beginning of Siman Pei Zayin, points out the following shaila. What's the din if Reuven cooked Basa B'cholov together, and now it was already created a cheftz of Basa B'cholov, and then Shimon goes ahead and takes that Basa B'cholov and reheats that Basa B'cholov, quote-unquote, recooks that basa b'cholov. So should we say that that's also an issur bishul basa b'cholov? Means just as we just rejected the principle of ein bishul acha bishul, we say that it doesn't carry over from Shabbos to basa b'cholov, so hu adinami, it shouldn't carry over here also. And the recooking of the second time around the basa b'cholov should constitute an issur deraisa of basa b'cholov. Should we say that? So Rabbi Kivega says the following Yechidish. Rabbi Kivega says that even though the din is that the basic klal of ein bishul acha bishul does not apply to bas b'cholov. If you cook meat and milk that happened to have been, the milk was at one time cooked before, that is considered to be bas b'cholov deraisa. However, if you one time created a chefta bas b'chol. This is the way the Bnei Shulchan is marked in this Rebbe Kivager. That at one time you created a chefta bas b'chol. It's not that the meat was cooked separate and the milk was cooked separate and now you combine them together. That would be bas b'chol of deraisa. But if at one time it already was bas b'chol of deraisa, so then my hanalei rabbanon, you didn't do anything else. So bas b'chol of means you can only create a chefta bas b'chol of one creation of chefta bas b'chol of per customer per piece of meat. So once you already created bas b'chol of then the hetta then yes, a goy did it, a Jew did it, it's not by itself. Whatever happened, once you had a chalasha in bas b'cholav, then the reheating of the bas b'cholav does not constitute bishul bas b'cholav deraisa. So why is this important? So apparently this shaila was at one time presented in the American Army. This is a shaila that apparently was from a cook at one time, and he, I guess he was aware, I don't know whether he knew all of you there or not, but he knew that there's an issur of los avashim di b'cholavimo, and it came to his attention that some of the food that he was being asked to prepare was Basa b'cholav. The question is he permitted to do that? Even if you're cooking for non-Jews, that would be an issur derais of bishul basa b'cholav. The fact that it was b'sai nevela is not going to help, because remember we said that b'sai nevela, although maybe it's mufka from achilas basa b'cholav, maybe it's even mufka from hanor, according to the Rambam, but bishul for sure applies. Bishul basa b'cholav avada applies min haTorah to b'sai nevela. So here in Nebuch you have this poor cook who's being asked to cook up the mess hall, being asked to cook up a nice meal of basa b'cholav, so the chari is being asked to do it, it's a deraisa. So the psach that was given apparently at the time was, it depends what he's being asked to do. If he's being asked to cook up the food mitchila, it's not a very serious problem. He's gotta go speak to the US military and explain to them why he can't do that. No freaking. But if he's being asked only to reheat the food, so then it's not so terrible, because to be asked to reheat the food, so there already was a chalashay basa b'cholav, it already was considered to be basa b'cholav. He's being asked now to reheat it, so you don't need the din of ein bishul acha bishul for that. There is no klal of ein bishul acha bishul in terms of basa b'cholav. But there's a second klal, there's a new klal. That means once the chalashay basa b'cholav is chal already, so you can't have a second chalashay basa b'cholav being chal ayaday the second bishul. So believe it or not, this shaila in the postgame about bishul of basa b'cholav, about ein bishul acha bishul of basa b'cholav, appears in all places in Hilchos Chanukah. It's almost 30 yom, not quite. 32 days, I think. It's Chav Gimel, so almost holy by Chanukah. So there's a shaila that the postgame discussed in Hilchos Chanukah following somewhat of a humorous shaila. The shaila was raised, the Shari Tshuva in Hilchos Chanukah quotes, that what's the din of a person who runs a little bit short on his Chanukah oil, and the only oil he's able to get is this treifa butter. And what was so treifa about the butter? Apparently the goyim, they would cook the butter together with meat. So he's got this treifa butter, which was a bas b'chol of the butter. Is he allowed to use this butter, melt it down, and use this for Neiros Chanukah? So the Shari Tshuva quotes the whole pilpul from the Echaronim, where the mitzvah slav honest mitnu, because he's getting hanof from using the bas b'chol of. So on the other hand, maybe it's from the side of Vela, one pilpul, and they mitzvah honest mitnu applies to the Rabban, and doesn't apply back and forth. Then at the end of this discussion, he says that there was some Echaronim who held that this is problematic for a totally different reason. When you light the Chanukah candle, so what are you doing? You're being mevashel the bas b'chol together. My nafkamina, whether you're being mevashel on a big fat cholent pot, or you're being mevashel on a little oil holder in your menorah. That's also called bishul bas b'chol. So some Echaronim wanted to ask for the lighting of the bas b'chol of oil based on the iser of bishul bas b'chol. So which other Echaronim said no, that's not a problem because the oil was already cooked. It was already cooked its bas b'chol. So it's not your problem. So which other Echaronim said no, wait a second. We have a klal of Chashabes that ein bishul acha bishul doesn't apply when it's lach. We know that you're not permitted to heat up soups. Whenever it's a dove lach, so we're machmir. Yesh bishul acha bishul. So to which other Echaronim is modern, see this lumps. One little guy couldn't find his olive oil. So other Echaronim said, no, that's different because when you're going with Hilchos ein bishul acha bishul, so then you can pilpul. There's a chiluk between lach and yavesh, back and forth. But this is not a klal of ein bishul acha bishul. This is a new vort. The new vort is once bas b'cholav, so there's no isra bishul on whatever was created as a chepta bas b'cholav. Once it's bas b'cholav, there's never an isra bishul bas b'cholav. There's nothing to do with the Hilchos Shabbos, the klal of ein bishul acha bishul, which would have led us to be mechalik between yavesh and lach. So wild, this whole arichos in the poskim and Chanukah all stems around the shaila. So, kol panim, just to recap, in terms of the relationship, or perhaps lack thereof, between Bishol and Shabbos, and Bishol and Bas Mechalev, and Bishol Lachon. So we have to ask ourselves all these strange scenarios. The case of the steam heating, the smoke heating is potentially questionable. The whole background shaila to the microwave will depend on this. The relationship between Kli Rishon, Kli Rishon Shalol Gabi Eish, Kli Sheni, all those discussions. So you have to always ask yourself, what's the din in Shabbos, what's the din in Bas Mechalev, what's the din in Bishol Lachon. And then the klal about Ein Bishol Lacha Bishol, which also may or may not carry over from Hilchos Shabbos, with the potential nafkaminas. Okay.